If you have your Bible, your Bible app with you, I invite you to pull it out at this time and meet me in John chapter 21. Two messages to go in our series through the Gospel of John. And today we have a final encounter between Jesus and a few of his disciples. And I think there's much for us to learn from this breakfast that they share on the beach. We're in John 21, looking at verses 1 through 14 this morning. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so very thankful to be gathered together in this space today. We acknowledge your presence here with us, and we celebrate your invitation to join you. We celebrate the grace that you pour into our lives in each new day and the ways that you appear to us in our day-to-day lives, even as you appear to your disciples in this morning's passage. In these next few minutes, as we gaze into your word, give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal, and give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, verses 1 to 4 of chapter 21 sort of set the scene. John introduces this story by simply saying this took place afterward. It's not very specific. We don't know how much time has passed toward the end of this gospel. We do know that Jesus was on this earth for 40 days after his resurrection, before the ascension. And so at some point in that 40-day window, this scene took place. 7 disciples are present, 5 of which are named, and they've gathered by the Sea of Galilee. This is about 75 miles north of Jerusalem, and we find them fishing. And if you think back to the beginning of the gospel, you know that several of the disciples were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. Now, that's caused some people to look at this passage and say, why are they here? Should they be here? Some say they've lost their faith. They've seen the risen Christ, but instead of continuing on the mission he gave them, they simply returned to what they were doing before they met him. Others simply point out they needed to. They needed to earn money. They needed to make a living, and that's what was happening in this moment. After a fruitless night of fishing, Jesus stands on the shore and reveals himself, reminding us that he can do this anytime and anywhere. But let's see what we can learn from the 4 statements that Jesus makes to the disciples in this scene. The first of those statements comes in verse 5. "Friends, haven't you any fish?" Haven't you any fish? This question is asked in a way that expects a negative response, and it receives one. They say no. The boat's 100 yards from shore. It's early morning. It's probably misty out, and it's likely they can't see who it is that's asking this question, who is talking to them from shore. It's also likely that they don't appreciate what this stranger has to say, yet something makes them respond. Dale Bruner provides great insight into this particular passage by rephrasing each of the statements that Jesus makes. So here, he says, friends, haven't you any fish? And Dale says, what he's really asking is, how are you doing? How was their night of fishing? How are they feeling as a result? Jesus is displaying empathy. What about us? Are we ready for Jesus to ask us how we are doing? And are we willing to provide an honest response when he does? The second statement Jesus makes is found in verse 6. Throw your net on the right side, he says. As if a stranger asking about the catch wasn't intrusive enough, now he's offering unsolicited fishing advice. It's no small task for these disciples to throw their weighted nets out on the other side, but something makes them do it, and with great result. We're told they catch so many fish that they're unable to haul the net into the boat. Throw your net on the right side, Jesus says. Or in other words, I've got an idea. Jesus makes a suggestion from shore. Have you thought about trying it this way? What about us? Are we open to Jesus' suggestions? Are we willing to try something new and maybe even inexplicable when he asks us to? When the disciples see the great catch of fish, John realizes at once who is on shore, and he turns to Peter and says, it is the Lord. It's a beautiful statement, really. It's the simplest kind of confession, but there's a sermon held in that simple statement. It's not pithy. It's not clever. It simply points to Jesus. And Peter wastes no time in responding. He wraps his garment around himself. He had had it off while he was working. And he jumps right into the water. Impulsivity incarnate, right? Yet Peter has unfinished business to work through with Jesus. And when we close our series next week in verses 15 and following, we are going to sit in with Peter and Jesus for that beautiful business. The boat eventually arrives to shore, and Jesus has breakfast waiting on the beach. There's a fire, there's fish, and there's bread waiting for the disciples. In verse 10, Jesus says, bring some of the fish you caught. Now think about this. Jesus doesn't actually need their fish. Breakfast is already prepared, but he gives the disciples a chance to participate. He gives them a chance to contribute. He even gives them credit for their great catch. He wants to work with them. In essence, Jesus is saying, I'd like to use what you have. I'd like to use what you have. Jesus has all the resources he needs, and yet he invites us to contribute day by day. Finally, in verse 12, Jesus says, come and have breakfast. They have not been summoned to a lecture. They have been invited to share a meal, to share fellowship with Jesus. Jesus gladly serves as host, lighting the fire, cooking the food. And John says to us simply, Jesus took the bread and fish and gave it to them. It's an almost identical statement to what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000. And yet now he's sitting around a fire in an intimate setting with his disciples. He says, let's have a meal together. Jesus extends that same invitation to us today. The meal that we share every single week in worship is a reminder of Jesus inviting us into fellowship, Jesus serving us with everything that we need. We are reminded each time we approach to receive these elements of Jesus' grace and the way in which Jesus hosts and welcomes each of us. John includes a curious statement in this last section of the scripture. He says, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. The word ask in Greek is exestai, which means careful inquiry. They knew this was Jesus, and yet what John seems to be suggesting is they had so many questions they still wanted to ask, so many answers they were seeking. Yet it was just perhaps inappropriate in this moment. They realized that Jesus was in the process of revealing more of himself to them. He's always revealing himself, and they were patient enough to let him do so in his time. I think we look at this passage and we realize once again, it's been a theme through the back end of this gospel, that Jesus is always revealing himself. The question is, are we open to the surprising ways that Jesus may choose to reveal himself to us or to operate in our lives? Have we responded to his invitations to us? As we prepare to finish this gospel, may we decide as believers in Jesus that our faith will never stop growing, and that our eyes will never be closed to all of the ways that Jesus will continue to reveal himself to us. It doesn't matter how long we have been a believer in Jesus. We have more to learn, more to understand, more to be challenged by if we will simply sit with him and receive what he gives us and receive what he reveals to us. Let me pray toward that end. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for you, for the way in which you have revealed yourself to the world. You are not contained in a book or in a gospel story, but you are alive and moving about in this world, and we desire to see you, and we desire to know you more and more as you reveal yourself to us. Help us to respond to these questions that you asked your disciples. Help us to be open to all that you might teach us, and help us to follow willingly after you. We give you thanks for all that you are and all that you do, and we pray it together in your name, Jesus. Amen.